Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. We will continue in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Volume 2, Chapter 4. And beginning today with text 134. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shokam savam vihayemam Shrimad Vaikuntha Nayakam Nijeshta deva budhyaiva Vikshasva bhajamabhidam. Put aside all this lamentation and just see the divine master of Vaikuntha as the same Lord you cherish. Don't consider them two different persons. Commentary. Gopakumar will have his mind pacified if he simply understands that Lord Narayan is his own Madan Gopal. We're going to do a few texts. Tato trapi sukham tattad anantam paramam mahat Vardhamanam sadasya manapurakamapsyasi. Then even here your heart will be flooded with supreme happiness, unlimited and ever increasing. Commentary. The joy Gopakumara will feel from understanding that Narayan and Gopal are the same person will satisfy the demands of his heart. That joy will ever increase because new feelings of undiscovered sweetness will dawn at every moment. But Gopakumara might think that the novelty of that newfound joy will wear out. Not at all. Narada says, that joy is absolutely perfect. But if it always increases, doesn't it have a limit, even if a changing one? No, Narada says, that joy is unlimited. It has no finite measure. Its quality grows perpetually. Even in the beginning, when a devotee starts to realize that joy, it appears almost complete in all its aspects. Text 136. Shri Gopakumara uvacha tatakam api siddhantam svapragya gocharan api aicham tad ananatstrotum shrotrena perito hatat. Shri Gopakumara said, I then wanted to hear Narada explain from his own mouth certain philosophical conclusions about which I was already thinking. My ears were forcing me to do this. Commentary. Gopakumara feels relieved by what Narada has said thus far. In text 39 of this chapter, Gopakumara had proposed to explain later to his Brahman student the reason for the extreme variety of appearances in Vaikuntha. With the help of Narada's instructions, Gopakumara has now done this. Now he wants to free the Brahman from all doubts and misconceptions by enlightening him about the most priceless essence of Vaishnava philosophy, which Narada revealed when Gopal Kumar met him in Vaikuntha. Texts 136 through 235 narrate these further teachings. Sakno micha nantan prastum amum gorvela jaya abhipriyaya sarvagya varo bhagavatottama. Because of respect and shyness, I couldn't ask him about these matters, but that best of omniscient mystics, the greatest Vaishnava, knew what I was thinking. Madhya karnayo sriya jivayascha sukhayasa vyanjayam asa sankshepat sarvangstan madhriti stitan. To give pleasure to my ears and to his own tongue, he briefly expounded on each of the topics I was contemplating. Om Gyananti Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksha Unminitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pungum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, last verse, our last class, we talked about, well, I believe last class is when we talked about the reason behind the emphasis has been given in many places on the need for Gopal Kumara to achieve that very unique, special place. And we talked about that the benefits of achieving that unique, special place, which would fulfill all of Gopal Kumara's needs, and which would satisfy him completely. Excuse me. I forgot to do something here. Was that he would have the association of like-minded persons. Unlike that which has not happened to him, at least yet here in Vaikuntha, it has not happened to him. And it will also not be available in his next destinations, until he actually reaches his desired destination. And that's what we spoke about last time. And today, we see that Narada Muni is making an attempt, as described by Gopal Kumar to the Mathura Brahmin, Narada Muni is making an attempt to pacify. We spoke to pacify Gopal Kumar's mind. As we indicated before, Narada Muni was feeling very compassionate. It's described that Karuna Ras had manifested within him, where he was actually experiencing the pain and the suffering that Gopakumara was feeling, and because Vaikuntha is a place where no such pain or suffering should ever manifest. Narada Muni is herein seeing the characteristics manifest in Gopakumara, and therefore he's now trying to explain to him why there's no reason for him to lament. And so therefore, the first thing he's saying here is, please put aside all this lamentation and just see the Divine Master of Vaikuntha as the same Lord you cherish. Don't consider them two different persons. So that, of course, will be a source of inspiration for Gopakumara when he begins to meditate in this way, as recommended by Narada Muni, because the fact is, and it will be explained in great detail later, this is the detail that we've been discussing in the English or with the North American devotees, which is how the Lord is one, and any form of the Lord which is worshipped satisfies all other forms. And this emphasis will come out later in a lot of detail about how the Lord is the same person, but he's adopted different features in different places to satisfy certain moods. But the Lord is pleased by the pure devotion, wherever the pure devotees are worshipping him and attempting to please him. So Narada Muni is therefore telling Gopakumara at this point, please, they're not different. The person that you see is the person you're aspiring to serve. And therefore he says, just see the Divine Master as the same Lord you cherish. Don't consider them two different persons. And then he says in the next verse, which we read, then even here, your heart will be flooded with supreme happiness, unlimited and ever increasing. And this is also more evidence about the nature of Vaikuntha, as we have said many times. The lamentation and pain and suffering which Gopakumara is experiencing is not manifest anywhere in Vaikuntha, and it's very unusual to see it in anyone. And of course, that's what's drawn Narada Muni's attention to Gopakumara here. And that's what not only drew his attention, but also it also drew out his compassion towards him, trying now to alleviate by saying, once you adjust to this transcendental realm, you will see that happiness is always manifest, and not only is it always manifest, it'll never become stale. It's truly a manifestation of ananda, which means pleasure, which is ever increasing. Don't worry, you'll see that, especially if you just meditate on this personality to be non-different than your cherished Lord. So, of course, that gives us also an understanding, and is giving the mature Brahman an understanding of the nature of Vaikuntha. And certainly, as we've said and indicated many times, a devotee is somebody who thinks first of Krishna's happiness, and then by thinking first of Krishna's happiness, his happiness automatically is there. And therefore, hearing about the happiness that devotees have in Vaikuntha is an impetus, certainly, for devotees to achieve or to attain that place where there is no suffering. When I spoke about this verse in a previous class, I did mention, and I'm not going to go through it today, because I've already mentioned it in the previous class, about how I had heard Prabhupada speak about this topic on that particular day, specifically in reference to Bhishma Dev. And Prabhupada was explaining how Bhishma Dev had a certain relationship with Krishna, and Krishna was very kind, and he accepted Bhishma Dev's method of worship, which happened to be one of the secondary rasas of ghastliness and chivalry. He accepted Bhishma Dev's worship of when Bhishma Dev was firing arrows into Krishna's body, and Krishna accepted those arrows to be like offerings of flower garlands, and in this way he was so satisfied by that service. And and that particular day, Prabhupada was explaining that Krishna was absorbed in Bhishma Dev's thought, and especially in his promise, that Bhishma Dev had promised that only if Krishna interferes will the Pandavas, especially Arjuna, in this particular case, be saved. Which, of course, was going against Krishna's promise that he would never intervene and he would never take up weapons in the battle. And Prabhupada was describing in this particular lecture that when Krishna ran after him with a chariot wheel, then Krishna was saying to Bhishma Dev, okay, see, I broke my promise for you. Here I am with a weapon. Now stop your fighting already. And just accept that I'm accepting your service and accepting your love. And Prabhupada explained at that point, Bhishma Dev relented. Now, of course, Bhishma Dev was also, had accepted many arrows in his body. And he also had the benediction that he could give up his life as he chooses. And while lying on the bed of arrows, Krishna then appeared before Bhishma Dev, and Prabhupada was explaining specifically in the lecture that when he was looking at Bhishma Dev, he didn't see Krishna holding a flute. He saw Krishna as the person who he was meditating upon, his method of worship that he was meditating upon. And of course, because he's an eternal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, by his meditation of Krishna in this form that he was worshipping, then Prabhupada explains, Bhishma gave up his life and he attained Vaikuntha. And this was specifically the class I had been hearing on, I guess it was the day before when this verse came up, which was Prabhupada was giving evidence about how Krishna manifests the form most dear to those devotees who are worshipping him purely, accepting their service, and then, of course, takes them back to their deserved destination, which in Bhishma's case was Vaikuntha. And, of course, this happiness of Vaikuntha is what is being described here by Narada Muni to Gopakumara and said, don't worry, your happiness will be ever increasing and it will never in any way change. Now, of course, again, I'll just briefly mention it again. Yes, Gopakumara is unhappy, but his unhappiness is not worldly unhappiness. His unhappiness is the blossoming ecstasy of separation from Madan Gopal. And therefore, Narada Muni is not addressing that just yet. Narada Muni is simply trying to help Gopakumara understand the nature of Vaikuntha. And therefore, we'll see in these verses how he will continue to do so until until, which will become revealed in some verses later, Narada Muni is going to come out and say to it, look, there's a special place, a unique place, and he even gives it a name. It's called Vraj, and that's the place that's unique. You will ultimately attain by dint of your meditation, but not yet. That's later. Now we're still talking about Vaikuntha. Now, next verse. Gopakumara said to the mature Brahmin, don't forget, I mentioned in a previous class, I'm going to try to move forward in a quicker manner and cover a lot of verses so that we can somehow catch up and come to the same place as the other devotees are. There's a reason behind it. I won't disclose it just yet, but there is a reason behind it. I want to catch up. So I'm not going to go into a very, very elaborate details with each verse or stick with one or two verses, but I'm going to try to move along and somehow, hopefully, in due course of time, we will be at the same place. So, Gopakumara said, I then wanted to hear Narada explain from his own mouth certain philosophical conclusions about which I was already thinking. My ears were forcing me to do this. This is also something very, very interesting. Well, wait a minute before I go there. Gopakumara is feeling relieved by what Narada has said so far. And previously here, Sanatana Goswami says, in text 39, Gopakumara proposed to explain later to the Mathura Brahman why there were so many varieties of appearances in Vaikuntha. And, as Sanatana Goswami says, texts 136 to 235, 100 verses, which we're now coming into, will narrate these teachings of why there are so many different varieties of forms in Vaikuntha. We've already discussed this before, because as I said before, that when we were there at text 39, I jumped ahead and I summarized some of these verses. So we've already discussed them, and that's another reason why I want to move through them in a quicker form, because otherwise I'll just simply be repeating all the details which we previously discussed. So, then, because of respect and shyness, I couldn't ask him about these matters, but that best of omniscient mystics, the greatest Vaishnava, knew what I was thinking. And then a very interesting point which comes out in the next verse. To give pleasure to my ears and to his own tongue, he briefly expounded on each of the topics I was contemplating. Briefly. 100 verses is briefly his brief explanation. And but what is interesting here, and I wanted to bring this topic to light, is that Gopakumara is saying to give pleasure to my ears. And also to give pleasure for Narada Muni to his tongue. We spoke about before about the nature of Vaikuntha, and that is one of the prominent features is Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. And this goes on amongst the residents of Vaikuntha. And not only that, but it is the means for attaining Vaikuntha. And I believe also, I seem to recall, in a commentary from Sanatana Goswami, his Digdarshanitika of Dhammadharastakam, he had stated that the happiness obtained by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord even surpasses Vaikuntha. And his explanation of this was because wherever hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord takes place, automatically Vaikuntha is manifest. So it's superior, because if the devotees are actually absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, wherever they are, whether they be in Mathura, whether they be in heaven, whether they be in hell, whether they're liberated, for them, it creates Vaikuntha atmosphere. Therefore, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, Sanatana Goswami explained, was considered to be even better than Vaikuntha. But nonetheless, it is something that also takes place in Vaikuntha, which was evidenced by what happened previously when the Vaikuntha Vasis, who heard Gopakumara speak in a much too familiar way about their Lord, said, they actually said, we want to hear the appropriate glorification, which we're accustomed to hearing here in Vaikuntha. We want to hear the Vaikuntha prayers. And Gopakumara was inappropriately speaking in a way about certain manifestations of the Lord, which was not particularly inspirational for their hearing and chanting, and they gave their reasons why. So hearing and chanting, hearing the glories of the Lord, is very relishable activity, and it takes place in Vaikuntha. And even it's described that the personified Vedas, the Vedas personified, are manifest in Vaikuntha, and they're always glorifying the Lord. Now, of course, the personified Vedas, they saw Krishna, and they heard about Krishna's pastimes in Goloka, and therefore the personified Vedas actually, they became, by their meditation, because they actually glorified the Lord at the time of creation, they began glorifying the Lord, and by their meditation they began to think how nice it would be to actually become a gopi in Vrindavan. And therefore, as we understand, the Shrutichari gopis who manifest, they were personified Vedas who actually became qualified by their meditation to become gopis in Vrindavan. That's another point. It's a side point. But generally, the personified Vedas are glorifying the Lord in Vaikuntha. In fact, there is one verse which is in the Brihadvamana Purana. Brahmananda mayo loko vyapi vaikunta samgita tal loka vasitatrastai stuto vedai parat para. The infinite world of spiritual bliss is called Vaikunta. There the supreme truth lives, being glorified by the personified Vedas who are also present there. This is a quote from one of the Puranas. Also, about glorification, hearing and chanting in Vaikunta, is another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is, I didn't put it down, but I think it's 3rd canto, 15th chapter, 17th verse. And the verse says, in the Vaikunta planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives and consorts, and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. This is their pleasure. Their pleasure is they eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord. Now, what character and activities are they singing about? The Lord of Vaikunta. And of course, these descriptions give them great pleasure, give the Lord great pleasure as well in Vaikunta. And here, in the purport, Prabhupada says, the inhabitants of Vaikunta are so interested in glorifying the Lord that they do not like the disturbance of such a nice breeze while they are chanting the Lord's glories. In other words, they are pure devotees. They consider glorification of the Lord more important than their own sense gratification. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain how there's no sense gratification in Vaikunta. So, this is an extremely pleasurable activity for the residents of Vaikunta. And therefore, Narada Muni, or should I say Gopa Kumar, is explaining here, my ears were forcing me to hear these descriptions, which Narada Muni, I was eager, very, very eager to hear these descriptions from him, because they were very pleasurable to him. And Narada Muni, of course, was very, very eager to speak them to him, because they were very pleasurable to him. So this is the pleasure of Vaikunta, and therefore Gopa Kumar is therefore indicating here in these verses what the residents of Vaikunta relish is hearing these wonderful glories, just as the Supreme Lord relishes hearing the glories of the personified Vedas. Now, of course, we should also understand another very important point, that personified Vedas, they're not manifest in Goloka. And in fact, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna very clearly states that when the gopis chastise me because he considers their words of chastisement. He considers their words to be far more outstanding than the prayers of the personified Vedas. These are the topics. These are the words which are heard in Goloka. You won't find personified Vedas in Goloka, except on one rare occasion, And that one rare occasion we already spoke about is that one rare occasion was the time when the cowherd men saw, when Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna being worshipped by Varuna. And then when Nanda Maharaj came back and told the gopas of how Krishna was being worshipped by Varuna and everyone else present there, and then all the gopas, they were saying maybe Krishna is God, and they said, if you're God, will you show us your supreme abode? And then, of course, Krishna manifested to them, showed them in such a way. He showed them Brahman, he showed them Vaikuntha, and then he showed them Goloka, and showed them how Goloka was superior to everything else. And in Goloka, they saw Krishna being worshipped by the personified Vedas in Goloka. It was a unique, very unique appearance of personified Vedas, but was simply to show the cowherd men, because the Vedas ordinarily, they don't exist in that form and in any way in Goloka. But they manifested, Krishna manifested them there to show the cowherd men how superior Goloka is to these other places that they had been. And I think I have it in the previous reference. Maybe I can find it. What happened when the cowherd men, yes, it's in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering him prayers. And in the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, in their unique vision, they were astonished to see Krishna being praised by the personified Vedas. The cowherd men thought, where have these effulgent beings come from? They are unknown to us. But we cannot ask them who they are. Then, in other words, the cowherd men saw them and completely unknown to them. They've never seen anything like this before. Why? Because they're not there. They're in Vaikuntha. And Krishna showed them that. And therefore, again, for the same purpose, Krishna wanted to show them that their place, because they were not aware of Goloka, they were not aware of the existence of Goloka, they were not aware of any of these things. All they were aware of is Krishna and their relationship with Krishna. And for them, that was enough. And then they said, well, if you are God, why don't you show us something? So Krishna showed them in such a way to convince them that they shouldn't be interested in any other place. And very quickly they lost interest and said, we're just happy. We're just happy with you the way you are. All these other things. They very quickly forgot it. They didn't even remember it anymore. They very quickly forgot it, and everything was the same. What was the same? Their ecstasy of affection towards Krishna in their particular mood, which was, for many of them, was vatsalya, and parental affection the elderly gopas had towards Krishna. And So that's a little bit about the personified Vedas, who, as I did explain already, who did become Shrutichari gopis. And the next time when the Lord appeared, they were given that opportunity to become gopis. I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also explains that at every creation, the Shrutichari gopis are the personified Vedas repeatedly get that opportunity to become gopis. So, as we were explaining before, Krishna states that the topics or the words of his devotees, which are manifest out of spontaneous love, not out of reverence, these words steal his mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. He's much more attracted to what he hears in the form of chastisement from the gopis, or challenges from his friends, or Mother Jasoda's chastisement. We don't hear any reverential prayers from Mother Jasoda. Only thing that Krishna hears and the devotees discuss in Goloka is not born of any kind of a reverential mood whatsoever, because reverence only manifests when there's Aishvarya Bhav, which means it only manifests when one is, love for Krishna is crippled to some degree by understanding his divinity as being God. No such reverential prayers exist in Goloka. So, but in Vaikuntha, Gopakumara is saying, my ears were forcing me to hear, and Narada was deriving great pleasure, glorifying the Lord. And his pleasure will be increasing, because as we will see, Narada, a little bit later in this discussion, Narada is going to begin telling Gopakumara, there is something more than what everyone else is talking about here, but you won't hear it here. And I'll tell you where you can hear it, and I'll tell you where you'll find it, but what's going to happen is he's not going to tell it to him in Vaikuntha. He's going to tell it to him in Dwarka. In Dwarka, because in Dwarka, when Gopakumara leaves Vaikuntha, or stays in Vaikuntha, I shouldn't say, he doesn't leave Vaikuntha, because Ayodhya and Dwarka are also regions of Vaikuntha, but they're regions of, there are different regions where there's different moods. But when he goes to Dwarka, Gopakumara is still going to feel some incompleteness. And at that place, Narada Muni will appear again, along with Uddhava, and because there's only one place left to go. At that place, Narada Muni is going to pull out all the stops. Everything. And he's going to start filling Gopakumara's ears with a very, very wonderful narration of the loving moods of the gopis, the cowherd boys, Mother Jasoda, all the residents of Goloka, their loving moods, their loving attitudes, their feelings of separation. And he's going to, again, both he and Uddhava are going to confess what we're telling you here. We're telling this to you, but we're not even qualified to be there. But you are. And Narada Muni is going to reveal all this to Gopal Kumar in this very, very wonderful way. And of course, it will be revealed in Dwarka. And then after Gopal Kumar qualifies himself by dint of his separation, by dint of his meditation, and all his qualifications, which were fully manifested there, and the Lord was very pleased by his qualifications. And then Gopal Kumar returns, or should I say enters, Goloka Vrindavan. Then the reason why Gopal Kumar is telling the Mathura Brahmin again and again and again that you won't be able to fully understand even by hearing about this from me. You won't fully understand it until you experience it yourself. And of course, that in itself, for a sincere listener, somebody who's really sincerely interested in the hearing, which the Mathura Brahmin definitely demonstrated, he was definitely sincere in hearing everything from Gopal Kumar. He wanted to hear it all, and therefore that's why Gopal Kumar delivered it all. And then Gopal Kumar tells the Mathura Brahmin many times that I'm telling you this, but you won't know until you understand it fully until you experience yourself. What does that do in somebody who's already developed or acquired a taste for hearing? What it should do, it should create, as we oftentimes hear, that bhakti or devotional service is there, but it needs to be brought out. What is that verse? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Pure love for Krishna is eternally situated in the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. But when one hears about it, then that pure love naturally awakens from within the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Thank you, Krishna Kun. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabhu Noi Shravanadi Suti Chaiti Kori Udoi. So, if one goes on hearing, then what happens? It awakens. It awakens that natural desire. And it awakens that natural hankering, which is a symptom of life. Hankering is a symptom of life. And if we don't understand that hankering is a symptom of life, we'll never qualify to achieve this most sublime destination, which Gopal Kumar achieved, which he gave the qualification for the Mathura Brahmin to achieve, is that it awakens a desire to hear more. And the more it awakens the desire to hear more, the more one begins, what is that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam? By rendering devotional service to the Lord, one automatically acquires knowledge and detachment. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajojata Janayasu Vayargyam Gyanam Chanam Dahaitukam. What happens? The more it awakens the desire to hear, then Srinvatasva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, then all these unwanted desires from the heart, they become destroyed. Nasa Prayesha Abhijeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then what happens is loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord becomes established as an irrevocable fact by regularly hearing. This desire is nourished. It's the same thing that Lord Chaitanya explained to Rupa Goswami in his instructions to Rupa Goswami about the watering of the seed of bhakti. But the more that one waters the seed of bhakti, and then what happens? It begins to grow. And what is that growing of the seed? It's the increase of desire. It's the cultivation of desire. The more the desire is cultivated, then what happens? The more one becomes eager. And the more one becomes eager, the more he wants to know more. He wants to hear more. He wants to remember more. He wants to think more. He wants to speak about more. He wants to do more, because only these thoughts, these words, these topics, only these can pacify the heart which is blazing, which is afflicted by the sufferings of the material world, the raging fire of material existence. There's nothing else can relieve the afflicted heart. So, therefore, we oftentimes quote the verse that's in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the right medicine. It's Bhava Ashodhi. It's the right medicine for those who are suffering repeated birth and death. It's the right medicine. And also in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes that when devotees develop a desire to hear these topics, then it spontaneously awakens a desire to hear more within their heart. They become just in the same way as Parikshit Maharaj said, and just in the same way as materialists are spontaneously attracted to hearing about women and sex, the Paramahansas, who are carrying the Supreme Lord within their heart, are spontaneously attracted to hearing anything which is connected to the topics of Krishna. So, these descriptions, these narrations, which are very, very relevant topics of hearing and chanting, they're meant to not only awaken the desire, but to meant to nourish the seed of the desire, so that the destination, the desired destination, which is awakened within the heart, can be obtained through the watering process. Shradharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvato bhavanti hrit kana rasayana kata. So this whole discourse between Gopakumar and the Mathura Brahmin is a discourse which Gopakumar has used, as we said before, and as was specifically mentioned in the very beginning. Gopakumar decided that he's going to speak his own story of his own life to the Mathura Brahmin, because his own life is a perfect narration for the Mathura Brahmin to get everything he needs to nourish the desire that is there in a seed form in his heart, which was given to him by his worship of the mantra, the Gopal mantra, which the Mathura Brahmin began worshipping. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. This is the most important process. And therefore, Gopakumar says, Gopakumar says, to give pleasure to my ears and to his own tongue, he briefly expounded on each of the topics I was contemplating. So then the next, how many verses? A lot. I'm going to move through these verses coming up in a quicker fashion, Because the next verses are simply an explanation, which we've heard before, why so many different forms in Vaikuntha. Why? Gopakumara had this question already at the gates of Vaikuntha. Narada already understood that question was there in his heart. And Narada Muni is going to explain all these different manifestations, which we've read before. In fact, I'm even thinking, now that I'm speaking about it, because we've read them before, I may even pass over some of these verses and move closer to where we are in our next class to where we are in the other classes, to bring everybody together. I'm not going to even read them all. I'm not even going to read the commentaries again. If you want to hear them, then they're on YouTube. And this way, I'll try to achieve one of my objectives, which is to bring us a little bit closer together, so that we can continue from one class to the next in the same place, and hopefully at the same time. I'm revealing a little bit of what my plan is. But I'm doing this not because it was my choice. I'm doing this because others made a choice to do simultaneous translation. Simultaneous translation was not my choice. Somebody else made the choice. Somebody else encouraged me to continue to do it. I've done it now. It looks like it will probably continue. It will continue, probably, unless there's an uproar. And if it probably continues, then why not just simply move forward together at the same time for everybody? And let's see what happens. But that's not going to come for at least another couple of weeks. It will take a couple of weeks to get to that point. For now, we will continue as we have been doing. So we will end here and chant some japa. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasiri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. We will end here, dear devotees. Class tomorrow will be at 5:45 p.m. India time. And class on Wednesday will be at 10 a.m. India time. And Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.